And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Beard, but we are relatively concerned here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAUT full studios of Freedom's of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Michael Wagner, Donna's hooking him up right now, toksplatform.org. Let's do look at his pretty graphics up there, and we'll talk about a little bit while she's getting them on. Co-founder and CEO of the Tokes Platform, explorer of finance, economics, and technology, pioneering decentralized economies, Tokes provides a number of blockchain-based services and infrastructure. The Tokes Platform is a multifaceted digital currency and software development company focused on the legal cannabis industry. Now, this means any industry. If you can make it to where the banks don't want you to be in somewhere or something, would this work for, gun manufacturers? You know, the porn industry? You know, anything that Operation Choke Point was all about? Shutting you down. You know, they go, well, we got it going on over here at Tokes. Okay. Our core initiatives include a blockchain-based e-payment solution, industry-agnostic point-of-sale software, as well as compliance and provenance management, whatever that means, through a dedicated ERP seed-to-sale application. Now, doing this, this is one thing that you're finding when we were doing stories in Washington State and Colorado on what was happening is that there was a, they wanted to be able to track everything from seed to the sale. And I mean, literally barcode plants. It was just getting ridiculous, you know, So I went ahead and I go, all right. Well, they have, you know, software for that. You know, well, here we go. And the ERP enables external developer integration through a modular design, with the ERP serving as a centralized platform upon which applications can be built and deployed. The ERP improves regulatory compliance through transparency of payments and supply chain management while reducing cash flow diversion. Well, they don't like this cash flow diversion. We want to get the cash flow in and just not be diverted. We can analyze and transparency of where the government. All right, so these guys are definitely going for compliance. We're also working on a unification model throughout the digital currency space, eliminating the excess deployment of individual network app tokens and instead engaging with developers interested in building applications for the cannabis industry and embracing them within the Tokes ecosystem. Michael Wagner. Got you there, Michael?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you?
Okay, thanks for coming on. All right. Now, the impression that I'm getting from this is that we're having an entire ecosystem that's going for those that got choke pointed. Because I remember when choke point happened, it was anybody in the marijuana industry, it was porn stars, gun industry, payday loans. There was a big long list of low hanging fruit. We'll go get them because they don't comply. Because we say and we want to, and, you know, social justice warrior and whatever the hell they were doing. So this, of course, is focused on the marijuana industry because there's a lot of money there and there's a lot of need for these kind of banking services. But this could apply to anything, don't you think?
Sure could. Oh, yeah, especially. So I missed part of the intro there. I had a bit of a technical difficulty, but generally speaking, I will clarify, our primary focus today is really on crypto payment processing. So to your exact point, really what we're focusing on is industry agnostic crypto payment software. So that includes point of sale and e-commerce.
So when you say industry agnostic, you mean we don't care what it is?
Well, we don't care what industry we're working with. Any merchant in any commerce situation can that wants to integrate payments.
But you call it Tokes as a marketing thing for the marijuana industry. Once it works there and you got, for a lot of the same reasons other people are having problems, they'll go, well, hell, I'll use Tokes guns. I mean, they don't care, right?
Possibly, yeah. So, Tokes goes back to our genesis over 2 years ago, and the company's evolved quite a bit from there.
Yeah.
And yet, still have a focus on the cannabis industry because this is one industry that really needs a solution like the one that we provide the most, particularly here in the developed world.
Here where?
In the developed world.
Okay.
So in the U.S., places where we have prevalence of different payment options that are out there.
Well, the one thing that you're doing here is you're I get the impression that you're like we're compliant. We're going to make it to where, hey, man, we filled out all the paperwork and we did all the transparent. We made it all your questions and the concerns that you have. We got laid out right here. No problem. No worries. We can keep legal cannabis legal in the state, legally in the banking of legal. Right.
Totally. And unfortunately, because, the reality is we're at the intersection of two industries that are highly stigmatized and that have a lot of criticisms against them. So cannabis still has a big negative connotation and a negative stigma out there. And despite the fact that these are legal, legitimate businesses in certain states, obviously we know that it's not federally legal, and therefore it creates this very problem that they have, and that they don't have access to banking, they don't have access to credit card, debit cards, they don't have access to a lot of the financial infrastructure that exists for other businesses.
Well, how are these businesses doing it now? I mean, especially when they want this seed to sale crap. So I went and toured a lot of the production facilities and so on in Washington State. I've seen some stuff in Colorado. We went and spent days and traveling around and during the election cycle for, I think it was 16. We were up in Washington State. I got to go on the Forum Trail talking to the regulators, blah, 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 blah. And they were of this mind. They were going, you're lucky we let you, and we need 35%. Oh, we don't want you to go out of business. So what do we got to get it down to? Is 20%, is that okay? I mean, and then, of course, the banking thing, you're dealing with the feds and so on. So I'm wondering, can they be appeased? Do they want to be appeased? They're just shaking the industry down. Are you the negotiator for the industry to the regulatory agencies?
We're trying, yeah. And so to answer your previous question more directly, somebody has to interface with the regulators today. I mean, we can't just go out there and say, screw you, we're going to do it our way, because people will end up in jail. And so because we're working in two emerging industries, both cannabis and cryptocurrency, that the regulators don't necessarily know how to handle right now, we feel it's prudent for us to be as compliant. And
they didn't anticipate that they had to. They just thought, nah, screw them, and they're not going to kind of, we don't care what the people pass at. Kind of, now they're just between, they're just in, you're causing problems and wanting you to come, explain it to them, how much money they're going to have, what kind of cut they're going to get. I've even had initiatives here in Arizona to where they got a line for law enforcement, and law enforcement's cut is right here. Hey, man, we're not going to be able to do a bunch of seizures. Where's our money? It's so bad. It's like we're a developing country with a silk tie or something. So when you're dealing with these people, these regulators and so on, what kind of people are you dealing with? I mean, I know you got your business, you got to be careful what you say, but I'm wondering, are these Fed regulators, state regulators? Are they, Puritans that are going, well, we just, we want to stop it, gosh darn it, and you're making it easy for, I mean, are these, what is their mindset of the people that you're having to get through?
It's pretty open-minded, to be honest with you. So we're not dealing with federal regulators, with the exception of where we have various financial licensing requirements, so money service business type requirements. But generally, we're talking to, we're based here in Nevada. So we're talking to Nevada legislators, we're talking to Department of Taxation, and generally the state of Nevada has been very progressive.
Progressive, that's what they called. The money guys, that's what they call the casino guys. That's what they call the guys that already know how, and as long as they get their cut. Yeah, Nevada, They got a sign on their door of grease skids here. I mean, so I bet you Nevada's a lot easier. Well, we're going to find out more when we come back.
Sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
Good morning, Michael. Yeah, no, you just missed, me just kind of doing a bio from your bio page here and, yakking about it a little bit, so you didn't miss anything. But the main thing is in the space, I'm really interested, now that we got kind of a bead on what you're doing, from the beginning, you know, why you did this, when you started doing it, your experiences with the regulators, the banking system, and you're saying that you're not necessarily dealing with the federal banks and so on, or you got state banks in Nevada that you can kind of insulate yourself?
No, I mean, that's really the purpose of our company. We're trying to bypass all of that infrastructure, right? So we're essentially trying to introduce blockchain as a method of digitally storing and securing your assets. And then
approved by whom? I mean, if I'm selling weed out of a store, there's a guy with a shiny badge wants to explain it to me how they want to get in and know something. Who is that? Is it state, federal, what?
Yeah, well, okay, so the businesses need to be licensed by the state, of course. So, you know, there's nothing we can necessarily do about that. But there's also nothing that's illegal about accepting transactions via blockchain. So, or, any method that they want to accept transactions. Technically, whether they accept cash or credit card or any other form of payment in the eyes of the federal government, it's still an illegal entity. So, we're not changing anything there. We're just saying you don't need a bank account, because we have an alternative solution for you through self-sovereign wealth management, right? And so, I mean, that's really what we're targeting.
Okay. When we come back, I'm going to walk you through this. I'm going to be, I have friends that have dispensaries, friends that are grow, friends that. And I'm going, all right. So I remember it was at the first of Narcopoco. It was, this was becoming a big problem. Here, we're coming back. We'll talk about.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
American woman, stay away from me. American woman, mama let me be.
Okay, now where's this American woman? Is it Captain Marvel? Is it the U.S. government? Is it the state government? Is it some government? Is it a level of government? I mean, I need to know. Tokes, we got this tokesplatform.org is to provide banking for those that are debanked. And when they did Operation Choke Point, there you go. They went low after low-hanging fruit, and they picked whatever. And the ones that, you know, really hit was American Spirit Arms here in Scottsdale. I bought some AR lowers from them before, so I got, ooh, what? What? These are a bunch of young guys that were making medical equipment that said, hey, we could do these files and make some AR, make some money, and kind of boom! Obama got elected, and a $100 receiver went to $300. And they said, we in the arm business. And then Choke Point shut down access to all their credit card deposits, so they couldn't buy raw materials. And they went, what the heck? And it became a thing. Adult porn actresses and actors, boom, you're not allowed to have an account. Marijuana, boom, not allowed to have an account. So I'm going, yeah, social and economic engineering on display. So here comes ToksPlatform.org, Michael Wagner's CEO and co-founder. So go ahead, Michael, let's start from the beginning. You started doing this, when and why, and I want to know the first client that you've gotten, they've taken on, they bypassed, they're allowed to keep stuffing, they're allowed to sell in crypto for their marijuana, or they're not. I mean, let's start from the beginning. You saw a need that you could fill. Tell us a story. Go.
Yeah. So first and foremost, we're not trying to provide access to banking. We're actually trying to provide an alternative to the legacy banking and financial system.
So you don't have to be compliant.
Well, I separate the two. I wouldn't say not be compliant. I'm saying you don't have to store your assets. You don't have to store your money in a bank. You can digitize and store your assets electronically on the blockchain. And that's the service that we're providing to these businesses. So it allows them, it just provides them with an alternative.
No. See, we got to drill down on this. You guys skip over this stuff. I need to understand. There is not a shiny badge with a gun coming into your shop and saying, where the hell is your money? We didn't get tax money for it. We're supposed to get a percentage of something. You know, where we got to see the transparency of you got it stored on some crypto whatever, but where the freak is our cut? They're not doing that.
Of course, yeah. I mean,
Of course they are. So tell me how that interfaces.
Well, in any event, these businesses have to pay their taxes, unfortunately. We're not essentially saying use cryptocurrency as a way to circumvent paying your taxes or to do the other things that are necessary for businesses and society today. Again, unfortunately, you know, whatever the tax situation is, it is what it is. So we're not saying use this as a way to bypass that. We're saying you don't have to deal with storing all of your cash right now and experience all of the risk that's associated with keeping physical cash in your building. We're saying you can digitize that. You can accept payments electronically and screw the credit card companies. If they don't want to work with you, we will work with you.
No, I'm hip, man. I'm digging it, you know, but at some point there is going to be the man, the revenue man. They don't like you messing with their money, especially when the whole promise of marijuana in Las Vegas, the first day you get off the plane, woohoo, we partying. What happens in Vegas stays. Well, they're going, yeah, but we're going to see it. Now, God guarantee freaking T, we're going to see the crypto account of something. Is there some interface? Is there some APIs? Is there some bank? Is there something that is it voluntarily reported or is it integrated into the revenue stream that they can see what you made in crypto?
Oh, it's totally integrated throughout. And a lot of people don't like to hear this, but blockchain by its very nature is far more transparent, especially than physical cash. You know, most of the money that's laundered around the world has done so in physical cash.
The drug dealers like $100 bills, okay? Well, see, my thing is that when Craig Wright did all this SV Bitcoin Cash crap and doing your all money laundering, you're trying to get more private and a bunch of child pornographer terrorists and all this kind of crap, I'm going, oh my God. They're setting it up for the next big giant push into crypto. It's going to be the next Greece, Cyprus, U.S. economic, oh my God thing. They want to be able to launder the money with a push of a button and boom, it's approved. You made it through the threshold. Threshold! Get us through the threshold. Well, crypto is going to be approved knighted money and they're going to be boom. This is the money laundering for the arms dealers and the drug and the government and the they, them, those and the black bag of them. I guarantee freaking it that's coming. But in the name of that, they're going to want to be able to see your books, which is fine. You're offering the service. We can use digital currencies to where you don't have to go through the threat of whatever and you have it and it's right there and suck it and you can pay your employees, you can pay your vendors. We got a whole different ecosystem get out of it. But the guys with the guns are going to say, you know, where's our cut? Well, here it is. You know, you can see it. You can't have it. You're not able to just seize it. You're not able to just take it. But we're complying where you get your cut. How far off am I?
No, you're spot on.
I okay, mean, boom. Then we understand. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the critical point, though, too. You really nailed it. So with cryptocurrency, again, we define this as a self-sovereign asset. So something that can't be used regardless. Now, again, we don't go out there and advocate for breaking the law or avoiding paying your taxes if that's what's necessary. But the reality is, you know, unless somebody has access to your private key, they don't have access to your wealth.
But they are, to be compliant, getting access to the flow.
Totally.
Okay. Yep. Now, see, yep. This is the thing. This would be better for the man because I owned a restaurant for years. Okay. And you know what? You know what I reported? Let me tell you what I reported. Everything that I had to. And what I mean is that they saw or they knew or they expect. Because what did I got? I got a cash business. I get lots of cash coming in. Woohoo! Going through the cash. Well, my POS system isn't linked up to the man. And of course, yeah. Now it probably is, and they want to or whatever. But, you know, this is in the late 90s, early 2000s. You know, I have a pizza restaurant, and what am I doing? I have cash coming in and other stuff. Of course, everything that goes, all the checks, all the credit cards, that all goes to the bank. You sure as heck should have, you know, demonstrated that you can pay your vendor bills. And that, there's a certain amount that you have to show that you're even a business. But did I record every single $10 bill that went in, maybe and kind of catered and I did a damn kind of something? Maybe. Has it been over 7 years? Probably not, okay? So This using digital crypto, it's more trackable. It's easier for them. The only thing is they can't seize it.
Sure. They can't seize your assets, but, you know, I mean, they could still put you in jail.
Yeah, they still shoot you.
So you're absolutely right. And, in the case of cannabis, it's kind of pick your poison because even the – you know, if you accepted cash in your business and it didn't go reported to the IRS, you still had a bank account that you could ultimately deposit that in, right? These guys don't. They don't have a bank account at all. And we're talking millions of dollars in monthly transactions. Not, you know, I don't know how successful the restaurant was, but you probably weren't bringing in a couple million dollars cash every month, right?
No.
So, a little easier to sneak under the radar.
Well, this is, and you know, I was openly, I made it to where, bring it on. You guys want to play, you got to, you know, prove it. And so it, you know, hilarity ensued. But my thing is that on the, what you're offering is compliance.
It is compliant.
We're compliant with making it easy, it's compliant, and quit your bitching. But they go, damn it, they complied, and we still weren't able to get them out of business. Damn it. How much did they get? Are they getting more? And this seed to sale, we'll talk about that more with Michael Wagner when we come back. It is toksplatform.org. Yeah, I apologize. I just wanted to make sure we get that clear, you know.
No, thanks.
Because that's not, it's kind of glossed over. I'm going, no. You're outside the system. You can do your thing. But I guarantee the Hellfire missiles start a flying. If they don't sit there and they get access to, you know, how much crypto you got in the feed of here it is. Because damn it, hell no. We just had, you know, you ever heard of gold money?
I have not.
Peter Schiff comes on a regular basis, and he was pimping this a few years ago. Gold money is you deposit crypto or assets, whatever, and you get gold. And they hold it in various banks around the world, Hong Kong, Shanghai, London, whatever. It's all over the place. And I pick that one, whatever, I don't care. And you can get a credit card, and you spend grams of gold, okay? So your credit card, you got a Visa, and you're out, you know, spending your gold. Sounds like a cool idea. I'm hip to that, but it's a third party. You know, there's still somebody who pinky swear we got your gold over here, all right? Yeah. So then I've been screaming about this because I had a year ago or so, I wanted to get $800 in these little gram bars because a friend of mine got it from there, and I want to get some, put in my safe, say I got some. So I get it, and it goes away. I didn't get it. You know, they took deducted my account, but I didn't get it. What's customer service? There is no customer service. It's volunteers. It's customer service. Got to, really? So I got ads on my site I just took down today because of this. Derek, my IT guy, he goes in, he goes, look, they said, oh, well, you can't have it now until you do a whole bunch more KYC and then conjunction with and kind of, he goes, what? You got my property? I heard Peter Schiff saying this on Ernie's show. Here's a date and clip and kind of what the hell. And I'm going, yep, see? It's a third-party thing, and yep. that's exactly what's going on with ChokePoint, the third-party thing. What you're offering is that it ain't a third-party thing. Now, they can probably see it, and they may show up at your front door, but at least they didn't seize all your money and assets while you're trying to defend yourself against them doing whatever, which is what they always do. They take everything. You can't afford a lawyer. You can't do anything, and you're screwed. So it offers a lot of solutions, but that's what makes you a target. You deliberately ducked, didn't you, Michael? You deliberately ducked.
I'm not sure if I'm ducking, but I mean, you're right in that we do not, we never custody assets. We never touch anybody else's assets, which is beneficial really for everyone involved.
So is it, you have your own token and then your own wallet and it's traded on various exchanges or not?
Yeah, we are. So we're traded on Bittrex. We have our own mobile wallet, our own token. Right. The point of sale software, though, facilitates payments in Bitcoin, Litecoin, and Tokes presently. And we'll be expanding out those options.
Expanding out what options?
The various payment options. So we'll be including additional cryptocurrencies as we move forward.
All right.
So we have support for like Lightning Network as well. I think we talked a little bit about that in Acapulco just briefly. Essentially, the point of sale is, again, dedicated to crypto payment processing. So we'll be adding in additional crypto payment options based on demand. That might be Dash, that might be Ether, might be Ripple, whatever people want. We can build and support for those cryptocurrencies into the point of sale.
Okay. Well, is this a service? Are you focused on this industry? Or this kind of, because this applies to a bunch of stuff those don't like. The marijuana industry was just the latest example of low-hanging fruit of, because they're, like your drugs and stuff. And they keep saying, oh, well, you bunch of drug dealing, you're doing the digital bypass. And I go, I think they usually use cash. But I'm going, it makes it easier for them, for like what you're doing, to comply and for them to see it. Now what's their complaint? You see my point? We'll find out what it is. All right, here we go.
.fm. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, more bass here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and our very special guest, Michael Wagner, is going to explain it to us how we can bypass. See, we're not really bypassing the man. It's just not as much under their control. And this is what I think a lot of people in the space are starting to realize. Any kind of business that you do with the man, they're going to get their fingers on it. I'll give you an example. When PayPal first started, it was originally supposed to be its own PayPal money. It was going to, this is kind of a digital, we're going to make it easy on the internet of, they can suck it. Well, then it got into bank accounts and kind of, and interrelated with and credit cards and all that kind of crap. And at about the same time, they had eBay. eBay had lots of friends, libertarian friends. Woo, man, we doing a business. We're selling and buying and doing it. It's kind of like park and swap, on the internet. And, Craigslist comes out. They're going to get them next. Well, all of a sudden, you start getting 1099s from eBay. Hey, we see you made some money. We see you did it. Oh, a bunch of money went through your PayPal. And they just plugged it right into the man. So freedom did not ensue there. But convenience did. So now we have industries that are, the man doesn't like it. Because they don't like it. So they're going to try and choke you out. Well, then the marijuana industry, they just had tons of cash. I was in Vegas at a consumer electronics show, and they had, Shark Tank or Pitcher or whatever the heck that was doing there. And they had in the same hotel, they had lines of guys. They're there to do their 5-minute pitch or whatever. And one of the guys, they looked like armed guards, and they had, their little stand-up, things, and they had all their accoutrement on and their, armored cars. And the thing that they were pimping was for marijuana industry. They go, look, we are the cash doer, taker, insured, bonded, armed escort. We take all your cash and go somewhere because of this problem. Then you had marijuana dispensaries that were buying defunct banks for their vault. Hell, they open up the distributorship in the bank, and they got a vault. So then you got, all these compliance. So what happens? We're at an Acapulco. Joby Week stands up, the first in Acapulco. They're screaming about how, we got to do something. We don't have banking and freedom needs to reign. He goes, Well, I'll take all your cash with Bitcoin. And we could do the Bitcoin and so on, and that, and then it started. So Tokes.platform.org is more than just a cryptocurrency for this use case. It's a platform. Explain the platform. What is it you're, you know, growing into, Michael?
Yeah, so a multitude of services. First and foremost is the point of sale and e-commerce suite. So those are for, again, crypto payment processing. And that includes an array of cryptocurrencies. So Bitcoin, Litecoin, Lightning Networks, Tokes, our own digital currency. You're looking to expand into crypto like Ether, Dash, Ripple, et cetera, et cetera. So that's part of the platform is the payment processing. The second component that you mentioned earlier on the show is the ERP. So this is really what we consider as provenance, tracking the custody of or chain of custody of a good or of a product or good through the supply chain. And so in the case of cannabis, that's seed to sale tracking. The regulators want to know absolutely where the plant has been from the point of where it was planted.
From conception.
That's good. You know, and again, like we're not writing the rules, obviously. We're just trying to improve the efficiency of how to comply with these rules. And so in both scenarios, you can use blockchain as a tool for your business to improve the efficiencies, reduce costs.
You know, this is good for tracking inventory. And I'm wondering, you know, this is kind of RFID Walmart crap, you know, and oh, my God, Internet of Everything, they're actually going to be able to do it. That's kind of scary. But the when I had here the laws in Arizona, they were kind of like you had to have, it was for pharma. You know, one of the initiatives is that you grew it, you had your own distributors, you know, processing, and distributors are all the same company. They wanted to keep the little guy or, you know, the individual out of this thing. And I'm going, you sons of bitches, man. So now if you have in Nevada, you have a grower. Are they also the processor and the distributor? And if you have from seed to sale, can you do it with different companies as this product or this one seed goes and then it's more, the whole plant's got to go to the same place? Can it be split up? I can see all kinds of logistical problems here. So how do you go seed to sale and how does it track a plant or a part of a plant?
Well, so in most cases, the license holders are, so there's three different licenses. That's dispensary, production, and cultivation. So cultivation is growing it. Production is creating concentrates. So, you know, gummies and edibles or just oils. And then the dispensing is obviously the, you know, front end interface with the consumer, selling it direct to the retail consumer. In most cases here in Nevada, the license holders do have all three. But if you're a cultivator, you can sell to any dispensary or you can sell to any cultivator or any production entity if you'd like to. So
in Nevada, okay.
In Nevada, yeah. But you know, generally, it's more beneficial to have control over all three. And there's actually some tax efficiencies that are created there as well because you know, these guys are getting hit at every point along the line. The cultivation facility has a certain tax that they have to pay. And so if you can reduce the amount of revenue or income at the cultivation facility by selling to yourself at the dispensary, you just kind of defer all those taxes until the end of the line when you actually sell it to the
customer. Now they have, let's say we got three levels. You have what you call it, cultivation, the plant, processing, you know, kind of they put it in the package or whatever, and then you got the dispensary. So what's the percentage at the cultivation area? What's the percentage at the processing? What's the percentage at distribution?
Yeah, I don't have exact figures for you, but I think
they each have their own percentage.
Yeah, it's like 20-30%. I want to say at each side.
Oh God! So it's all right. So you push that. It's better to have, you know, Bayer Monsanto has their own line, which don't laugh. This is exactly what's going on. So they go all the way. They go. We sell it for free. We do it for free. It goes down to the dispensary. We pay one tax.
That's essentially the idea. You got it.
You know, if this isn't social and economic engineering, man, I'm all right. All right. So your platform, it facilitates from the beginning to the end. You're able to tag a plant and what is it? Barcodes, QR codes. How are you doing this?
Yeah. Well, this element of the business, we're still a startup, by the way. You know, we're a couple of years in now, small team, but so this part of the company is still in early stages of development, but we focus on a very specific piece of that layer. So what we intend to accomplish is replacing the data layer. So instead of using a traditional like MySQL database or just a traditional database, In a computer system, we're saying we can replace that component with a blockchain component. So we actually will be working with the other seed to sale providers, providing just a very isolated service for them.
Are you doing, you know, see, marijuana, it's freaking cotton. I mean, you know, it's an agricultural product. So this could apply to everything. I mean, you know, once you do this and you get this set up and you're kind of, I mean, are you going to expand your horizons?
Absolutely. On both fronts. Again, on both payment processing and on the provenance of goods. So farm to table is another great example. People want to know where their food came from.
Ah, I got, you know, see, I call it virgin. They keep doing this organic and keep changing the, you know, the definition organic. So I like to call it virgin food. I mean, it's not, I mean, it didn't get screwed with. You know, it's not like Uncle Sam go, oh, just put the tip in. I mean, you know, kind of thing. I go, no. How do you call it? How do you call it untampered if it's virgin? I need virgin, barcoded. I got my thing on the Tokes platform of I know where it came from. It says, and right here, and don't be a liar. So I'm... not that that gives you all protection, but I'm just saying that this provides an opportunity for you to have a little higher degree of, we had a Azure standard in Oregon. We were covering this one farm that does organic growing there, and the county was trying to force them to use glyphosate. And they're going, wait, we can't be organic. This is Oregon. And the county, it was just some neighboring farms just wanted to make them do it to compete with, you know, and their weeds not getting on something. And it exploded. It was a major thing. And I can see that these people, I could hook you up with these guys. They'd love something like this to give them, you know, more autonomy and higher quality that you could be assured of, because they ship as co-ops down all over the country, and there is a neighbor up here. They just bring pallets into her garage. A bunch of people come in and get all their stuff. They know is good stuff. Boom, and they go out, and a couple weeks later, they get another shipment. Tokesplatform.org. Fill the bill. Something exactly like this. We'll talk more with Michael Wagner and you know what we can use it for. We'll be right back.
I love my magic mud. I drink.
See, I understand the concept, and but, you know, I'm wondering, and I want you to address this when we come back, is how much you've gotten so intertwined with compliance and transparency. At what point are they going to finally just, it's regulatory of it's just ours, and you get to run it for us, and it's the fascist wallet of the man? You see my point?
Yeah, you know, I mean... ethically and morally, I'm opposed to that. So we, just as an example.
That don't matter.
Well, sure. There's one point I want to make on the, you know, that whole using blockchain for provenance. And it's that it's still garbage in, garbage out. Like, it doesn't matter if you, if it's on blockchain or in a regular database, if the person that's entering the information is entering it incorrectly, then it's bad data, right? Yeah,
no, I'm hit.
You can track.
Yeah, so, you can do Honduras and your, we were talking about this, they're going blockchain on property allocation, who owns what and everything. If they screwed up in the beginning, then you're just freaking screwed forever, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I'm hip. You know, you're still counting on that, you know, $15 an hour kid that's sitting there with the barcode scan of the plant doing kind of complying. They're still counting on that. And I don't know how they're, you know, surveillance. I mean, how many cameras you got to have? And, ooh, he diverted some weed, and I saw him, he pocketed that bud. I mean, it's so ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. They just wanted to get you in your mindset into this compliance thing, and that you should, and you better feel guilty if you aren't able to do it, or you didn't do it, or what. I'm just, it's, so I understand it is a service that is just, it's just a free market popping up solutions to all their crap. You know, but it's still crap, man. Lots of crap.
We obviously didn't create the problem. We're just trying to provide some help.
They don't want solutions. You know, that's what I'm interested in finding out is going through this. You know, do they even want this solution? Like, damn it, these Tokes platform guys, they came up with, you know, all the answers to all our crap that we were whining about. Damn it. I mean, you know, are they in that mindset or not?
Are you talking about regulators?
Yeah. The man, the politicians, governments, competition, pharmaceutical community, the banking, everybody. I mean, you're, you know, this is, you're bucking the system, man.
Yeah, well, we don't have a significant enough degree of adoption for me to give you a definitive answer there. But I will tell you, we are talking to the state currently because they're looking for a blockchain-based cashless payment solution for this industry. And you know, that may or may not include seed-to-sale tracking. But we see optimism in the state in using something like what we've created.
Well, they just started. I mean, Nevada was when? It wasn't too long ago.
We went full rec, which is adult use, in 2017.
Oh, it's been that long? I remember, yeah everybody, woohoo, we're going to Vegas, you know, and I think I've been to Vegas since then. I don't even remember even going to a dispensary. We were busy with other stuff, but it's good to know. I mean, first time I go to Washington, I get off the plane, man, I'm like, all right, where's the local dispensary? He's get me a pen or something, you know?
Yeah.
And so this is, you know, you go rec. You know, a lot of times it causes its own problems. It sure as hell did in Washington. I got a big giant dose of that. And a lot of it's just tax revenue. And the guys in Washington, they were just, you're lucky we let you do it. You better be giving us a big cut. I don't care if you live in a double wide as the owner of a dispensary. The rest of that money's ours, you know. And I'm like, wow. I mean, I was at legislative forums. And these guys were on the committee that regulated this stuff. Jacob Lamont, that owns Evergreen up in Blaine, you know, he's got tourists coming down from all Japanese tourists on their boats in Vancouver, come down, take pictures. You have 100 guys get off a bus, take a picture, don't buy a single thing. They say, see, it's legal in the United States. Oh, my God. You know? Yeah. All right, here we come back.
The Ernest Hancock Show.
Woo! Satisfy me, baby! Yeah, a little more action, please. A little less conversation. Elvis Presley. Thank you very much. You know, I'm glad to see the action on this, and you're early into this, and you're walking the regulatory tightrope because you're dealing with the guys with guns, and they want to explain it to you. So how many people are you interfacing with? Are you spending most of your time with the government? Are you spending time with the actual dispensaries, the growers? I mean, where's the focus of your time? Who's the gatekeeper on this?
We're actually still spending the majority of our time on developing the underlying software itself. So we're having conversations on both sides so that we can be prepared for when we're ready for a full launch of the point of sale suite, that we'll have the relationships in place at both the industry operators, so the dispensaries and cultivators, as well as having clearance through the various regulators to ensure that they're appraised and aware of what it is that we're working on in advance of us building what we're actually building.
So you're looking for cooperation from everybody to get what they want and we're done and not have to deal with crap later. But, I mean, are you up against competitors? Is it the Monsanto Bear crypto wallet app of Pick Us that you're competing with, or do you know?
There's a bunch of competitors out there, not only in crypto. Everybody's trying. This is a well-documented problem, the cash problem. So there's a lot of people that are looking for creative solutions around that. Some of which are more viable than others. We see crypto as being one of the most viable because of the key point that you made earlier. It's that it's a peer-to-peer method of transferring value. So even our software, we never take custody or actually transmit a payment on behalf of another person. We never touch the funds whatsoever. All we do is provide the business with an interface that allows them to talk directly to a consumer and make that blockchain transaction.
And so also make the transaction transparent for regulators. They get their cut and shut up.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's the reporting behind it. So we know what transactions took place.
Could you have it set, and are you planning to have it set to where when you have the transaction, the cut just automatically goes to the man as part of a pool of money, kind of an account of, yeah, I'm done with that. Got to fill out paperwork. Yeah, okay, you're done. I mean,
we certainly could build that.
Yeah, I'm just... See, this makes it, you know, this is the man's money made easy. You know, they go, yeah, we get it. Which is, you know, you're in this kind of environment. And I'm like, okay, I understand. But damn, I'm just like, damn. Ew. Well, better you than me, because better you than me. When you're doing development on this, did you do an ICO to do Tokes platform, or do you have investors? How did that work?
Yeah, we did a really early round ICO in late 2016. And my co-founder, business partner, and myself have been in crypto since 2013. So, we're familiar with the space, but it wasn't heavily marketed. We just did ours on Bitcoin Talk. which is really the prominent forum to talk about cryptocurrency and cryptocurrency launches.
Well, how much did you raise?
We raised $80,000 in 2016. So,
and that was enough to get you going?
It was enough to get us going. And, you know, we've raised additional capital throughout the over the past couple of years in private formats.
Okay, so there's people that see this as the future of. So you went down to Anarkapoko to, you know, kind of, you know, pimp your solution and where you're at. Or you got competition in Vegas or around the world on this at all? Or are you guys leading the front of the pack? How you guys doing?
I like to think that we're the most advanced solution on the market today, or that's you know, rapidly becoming available to the market today. There are alternatives in both crypto and otherwise. I went down to Anarkapoko just to hear some alternative thoughts. It wasn't necessarily to promote our business. I was just down there absorbing in the energy, if you will.
Yeah, I need some pirate money, man. Give me some pirate money, pirate communications. But I want to go all pirate. You know, I pirate enough. I just grow my own plant. But, you know, the thing is that this is a service that has been created out of regulation and action by the government. And as you're doing this, who do you pay more attention to? Or is it equal, or is there a liaison that is both the federal and the state guys? Or do you have a state regulator, a federal regulator? Are you looking at federal law, banking law? I mean, as you're developing this, you don't want to have that one little thing, oh, I'm sorry, you got to totally redo because you didn't comply with the compliance of comply sheet of bullet points on this 3x5 card comply. And you go, yep, we want to make sure we comply. Who are you complying with? Who are you talking to?
Yeah, so our job as entrepreneurs and innovators is to push the boundary and get as close to the edge as we possibly can without going over, right? I mean, that's our responsibility. And so in terms of compliance, we have to follow the rule book that's set out by the various regulators.
Yeah, no, I'm just looking for whose rule book. Which rule book are we talking? We got states telling the feds to go to hell. The feds telling the states you're not allowed to tell us to go to hell. So I'm just wondering which book you're going from.
Yeah, well, it's chaos, you know, to be honest with you, and especially for a small company to try to deal with all of the onerous burdens of all of the different regulators is quite challenging. So, you know, again, there's different areas. If you're talking money service business, money transmission licensing, that's both federal and state regulators. So FinCEN is the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, which is a you know, entity of the U.S. Treasury. So we deal with regulations in that for the money services aspect of the business. When you're talking about cannabis.
Well, see, my question is that it's not just whether you, I'm sure the answer is always yes. It's just how much it takes to, you know, to do what they want. You know, if it's ones and zeros, you want them to go wherever and what you want them to do, whatever. The answer is yes, we can do that. So I'm just wondering, are they in a position, they just stringing you along, you know, or do they want it to work? If you can comply with whatever they want, or are they just spinning your wheels and you're never, ever really going to be able to comply until it's GoldmanSucks.gov coin? Or, I mean, what's your feeling dealing with these guys that there is an end in sight, that there is a finish line that you can cross?
Our experience with legislators in the state of Nevada has been quite positive. So they are optimistic about a solution like the one that we're developing and what we're going to be able
to do. As are the legislators here in Arizona. They're at a Nexus Earth Think at the Phoenician here, Nexus Earth Thing. They're going, oh, yeah, we're free, three legislators. Oh, we want to comply and kind of give us some money. We'll be all crypto. But that's not the regulators. And that sure as hell isn't the federal guys. So I'm wondering, as you're dealing with all these guys, when you say legislator, you're kind of dodging the question. I'm going, are these regulated people in power in the banking industry and in the drugs and the DEA and all this, are they going to allow you to succeed? Or are you building a platform for when it doesn't matter what they think?
Sort of the latter, and we don't really care what the bankers think, again, because we can bypass all of that, and that's not a regulatory question for us. That's a different financial infrastructure that we have.
Okay, because I can see what you're doing. You're going, look, man, we did all this to what you wanted. We can comply. Can they go, yeah, you're confusing us with somebody that cared. Oh, okay, I get it. But in the meantime, you created an entire infrastructure that sooner or later we're going to get to when everything goes to crap anyway. And this can be for any business and make it streamline your bookkeeping. My biggest problem, you know, for doing the restaurant and bookkeeping was just the bookkeeping. It was just all the, it was just, and you could set up, are you setting this up to interface with, you know, taxing? and the end of the year, I put this, you know, at the end of the quarter, I put this number in this, you know, Quicken book thing, and I kind of, we're done, and I pay, and we're good? And is there, in Nevada, are they accepting crypto for taxes? I think they're starting to do that here in Arizona. How's that going?
Not yet. So we're, you know, we obviously are working towards that. But one of the issues with pretty much any entity, and this is even, you know, your industry operator or any merchant, is the volatility of cryptocurrency. So, you know, we have to work with essentially the conversion of one asset into another. This is something we do. So like from Bitcoin into, say, a stable asset, USD Tether is one of the most prominent ones. But if you're a tax authority, you don't really want to hold Bitcoin. You just want to know, I got paid my taxes, right?
Right.
So we can help convert that asset and deliver the stable asset to the state.
You know, well, this is what happened at the top left of freedomsphoenix.com. You'll see Roberts and Roberts Precious Metals there. Years ago, early on, he's like, I'll take Bitcoin, you know, bring it on. So what does he do? It's BitPay. You go into BitPay, you send it to them. It goes, he just sees it as a cash transaction into his bank account, and you get the silver. We're done. He didn't even see the crypto. Now, he could have some of it, I guess, you know, sent off in crypto, whatever he wants to. I don't know. I ain't in his business. But, you know, the thing is that, hey, man, I don't got the crypto. I didn't do nothing. It was nothing. And then the man goes, oh, hell no. We don't want that to happen. That was a little too easy, too. So I'm going, God, it's all the attitude of they, them, those in allowing this to happen, regardless that you have the solution. So I'm seeing that in the future, this is what you're doing is going to be banking. This is it. You know, this is it. So I'm glad you're doing it. It's just, yes. Man, ain't going to make it easy on you, but you're trying. So hey, how do you think it's going?
Ultimately, we've built, like you said, we've built a solution that allows you to be completely compliant. It provides all the information necessary to appease these regulators. But at the end of the day, you have complete control of your money, and that's never been done before.
Pace, Tokes platform. .org. Yeah, we're going to get us a free economy one way or another, or at least the infrastructure for it for when this one goes down.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Team.
Because it's going to go down, you know. That's the end of the show. Michael, thanks. I'm glad we got to get that clarified and out, because I wanted to make sure people understood this is a solution. But it's, you know, it's kind of a compliant with them solution of they can kind of, but they're going to, you know, keep BSing what their compliance stuff is anyway. But it doesn't matter, because what you're doing is creating an infrastructure and a platform for the next future of, it doesn't matter what they do when they go down into the dust, you know, bin of history. So are you seeing this as a future? You're looking years into the future, and are you counting on there always being a federal we rule you thing for foreseeable whatever? What are you thinking long term?
No, absolutely not. I mean, you know, we'd like to see the collapse of that system as well. But, you know, I kind of think of it, I didn't want to say it on the show, but I kind of think of it as like a Trojan horse.
Well, you're being recorded on, you know, in the archives, so be careful here. Don always tells everybody that. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, just that, you know, think of it as a bit of a Trojan horse. You know, somebody, you need to get the regulators comfortable with the acceptance of this form of technology. If you challenge them too significantly, they're going to try to shut down immediately, right? And so what we're saying is, here, we've got a piece of technology that you can work with, or that you can accept, that benefits the businesses, it benefits regulators, and at the end of the day, if we can see the mass adoption of cryptocurrency, it removes a lot of power from the current system.
Oh, well, hell, they'll just get right on it then. You know, we have Patrick Byrne on a regular basis. I've been covering him since, God, 9, 10, you know, his Naked Short stuff back in the day. And he's spoken at our Freedom Summits before and had him on regularly. And then he found his tribe, man. He goes to Porkfest. I found my tribe. So this is, he's in and understands this. And I remember it was January, it was like the spring of 16. And he goes, he was on the show and he goes, yep, they got the memo. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, it's like January 16. All of a sudden, it's like, hey, you know, it's over, man. This blockchain thing, you better get on the train, because it's going to overwhelm all the central banking. So then Goldman Sachs, a VP out of France, called, and whatever they could get him to do to get on a plane, they give him a bunch of foot massages or whatever the hell to get him to go to Paris. So he goes, and they go to dinner, and he sat down, and he goes, all right, give it to us straight, man. What's our role in this blockchain thing? And he goes, you want it straight? You know, no sugar coat. Yeah, hit me. And he goes, there isn't a role for you guys. And the guy goes, yeah, they sent out like a half a dozen guys from their IT department at Goldman Sachs. And they went out checking out this blockchain thing. And they came back and reported to the board and said, man, we're screwed. Everything that we do, this bypasses us. We're done. You know, yeah. So they're like, holy crap. So then he had just wrapped up his suit against, you know, regulators and they, them, those and naked short selling, which he spent like $32 million of his own money to get $34 million, you know. And wow. But he got discovery on all this stuff and he could see what the bait. That's where T-Zero came from. He announced it on this show. He's going, I tell you, we got like 160 industries we put up on a whiteboard that we know we're going to totally change everything in addition to what you're doing. So he's going, the banking and the industry, they know. Here it freaking comes, and there's nothing they can do about it, but they're going to want to control it. They're going to want to be in the middle of it. They're going to want to have, and the pipeline goes over to GoldmanSachs.gov coin, and there's nothing you can do about that either, but it's going to happen inside of a crash, and then it's going to be the bank holiday, and then you come back, and you got to get, grandma's got to get her smartphone and digital, or, you know, the paper wallets, and they're doing something. It's going to go crypto. And what you guys are doing is, are you mapping it out for them how they're going to do it, or are they going to use you as freedom advocates for doing this kind of thing? Either way, are you patenting any of this stuff, or no, because I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, we have a provisional patent on part of the payment processing.
Yeah.
But we're not, my ambition in life is not to not to convert blockchain and decentralized money into a tool for the legacy financial system. I'm not interested in that at all. Screw those guys, you know? I mean, I really, we're not trying to become a tool for them. We're trying to bypass that. We're trying to empower the individual.
Yeah, I'm with you, brother. That's, you know, all that pirate stuff that you saw there. You go to, you know, piratewithoutborders.com and the second letter of Captain Mark. I'll just show the audience here. You go into the second letter of Captain Mark, and it talks about the traits of cryptocurrency. And I can see what they're doing. Now the Crown uses digital currency as a new tool of predation, granting it unprecedented power to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy our wealth at will. The Crown invades servers, seizes records, intercepts signals, and freezes accounts. So the currency of pirates must possess features to defend against this weaponized money. Because that's what they, them, those want. Now, what you're offering is that they can't seize. Now, you're saying you can surveil it, you know, but you can't change it. You can't censor it or seize it or destroy it. You want to surveil and get your tax cut, fine, but you're not going to be able to censor, seize, or destroy. How far off am I?
You're spot on.
Okay, so it's not weaponized money, maybe surveilled money, but it's not weaponized money, and they can't freeze accounts. Now, they may, you know, do a court order, and you're not allowed to whatever the hell and intercept and whatever, and they try and seize, well, you're not even seizing records. There's a whole record. You know, you don't have to invade the server. Hell, you got API access. So it's just what they're wanting to do is they want to be able to censor and seize. They want to be able to destroy, and these kinds of things you're not allowing them to do, so I need to know. I have no idea where this goes, and you're counting on them being, I don't know, allowing it. I mean, what are you counting on?
Well, so, you know, to the extent that you're not using like USD coin, created by the US Treasury and the US government, your assets aren't going to be seizable. I guess, again, like the point of the software is to help businesses interface with blockchain. So how do you connect a business with a consumer and facilitate a direct transaction from those two
which
people.
Is powerful and awesome and should happen, gonna happen one way or another happen. It's just I'm trying from because who else do I talk to about having as far along as you are in Nevada where there is a big giant need for this of people actually doing it. And as you're talking with banking regulators on a state and federal level and the use case for growers, processors, and distributors, who else am I talking to, Michael? I mean, who's the other expert in this field of doing what you're doing? I would think it'd be like Michael Wagner, right?
There's no one else. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, really, there's no one else that's directly competing with us. particularly in this space, or really anywhere else. The all 36 guys, Danny knows them fairly well. He's kind of critical of some of their execution.
Danny Sessom over at the Crypto Show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, all 36 would be the other people, but I think they're going to tell you a similar story. Somebody has to interface with the regulators too. Like we have to deal with that. The only way.
See, I'm not so concerned about you dealing with them. My concern is that are you able to freely share with us what's actually happening? And do you think that that would be a risk in your relationship with them? Because if you're not, sharing what's going on, I mean, certainly post-mortem, or after it's accepted or declined or whatever, then we didn't really learn anything. And I think what you're doing is enormously valuable for us to make determinations in the future of how we're going to deal with these guys if we do at all. Because if they're going to be dicks about it, screw you guys. We're pirates, man. Peace out, and we're over here and be done. You think all that stuff you were worried about, you guys will be drug dealing, kind of doing without us, scrutinizing and kind of pornography and whatever the hell. You go, yep, you damn Skippy, you sons of bitches. You had your opportunity to deal with us, and now we ignore you. So I need to know what their mindset is when they're dealing with you, because they deal with you or they deal with the pirates. You feel me?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't feel like we don't feel like we're being deceived or misled. I think I wouldn't overestimate the sophistication either. I don't know how much they're strategizing here, but to me it doesn't seem like they're nefariously working with us to implement something. Right. To oversee these.
Yeah, no. We're going to learn, with your experience, we're going to find out everything. That's why I want to make sure we maintain a relationship with you and we keep a beat on it. Whenever something happens and you think it's going to benefit you by getting it out to the masses of people in the audience that we have and kind of, what's up, freaking get your butt on, And if I see something that's happening or a little news, I go, oh, Michael, you need to explain it to us. And then we'll be calling you. But and of course, as we go through this step and this process of this happening, seed to, to sale, I'm going, yeah, we need to keep up on this. And I apologize for me hammering on you. I don't know if you expected this kind of questioning or this kind of understanding of what's going on, because I know what you're trying to do. We have a great product that addresses all these regulators' concerns that's built right into it. And it makes it to where we can, develop this. It makes everybody happy. The providers of the product, they're getting all the inventory and the sales data and the tactics and paperwork being done. You guys get to see it, and we can all do business, and we're good, and we bypass the traditional banking or not, or interface with, and it's all good. You guys said this is what you wanted? We can do that. Ones and zeros, man. We made it. There. Let's do it. Let's be brothers. And they go, damn it. They did it again. They went and complied with us, and we didn't want them to comply. That's what I need to know. You feel me?
Yeah. I don't think that's the case, though, to be
okay.
honest.
Okay. Then we're good. This goes through, and you get to the very end, and it's integrated in, and everybody's happy. Shoot, man. Yeah, that's all you had to say. I'm all over and promoting, and you got woohoo. I call, Jacob, and I go, hey, man. Get on it. Get to Washington State and getting going. Here we go. And then, of course, in Colorado, you got Joby said, yeah, woohoo, Tokes the platform. It'll explode. And I'm all over that, too. But we need to follow it through to see what they're – because after they do the delay, after they go, nothing, and you keep fulfilling their desires, you keep pushing off, and then all of a sudden it's J.P. Morgan does it, and you're not allowed. And I'm going, yep. This whole time they've been, so I need to know so that we can help.
Got it. Yeah, I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Right now, I get no indication that we're being strung along and just like given artificial barriers to have to overcome. I think we're just figuring out, we're solving the problem in real time, because we don't even necessarily know what all the problems or challenges will be until we get to them in a lot of cases. It's a big discovery process for us. I'll tell you one other thing though, and I don't know if it's useful, but one of our bigger hurdles is the industry itself. So, we want to help them, but maybe they don't want to help themselves. There's a lot of skepticism with cryptocurrency in general. People just don't trust it, so which is natural. I don't necessarily have a problem with that, because we're telling people, we'll take your physical cash. Give us your cash. We'll give you this electronic, ledger that says that you have some money somewhere. And they're like, well, where is that money? How do I get it back out? So we have to get people to trust us.
You know, that's it. I tell you from my personal experience in the 90s. In 1994, we did an initiative called SAFE Initiative. Second Amendment is for everyone. Are you a safe gun owner? Are you an unsafe legislator? You know, that kind of thing. Okay. And the petitions, it was amazing. It just exploded. Boom! 36,000 volunteer, you know, signatures in 3 months. You go to any function, you'd be at some home improvement thing down at the Civic Center or something. You got them six across, eight deep. Man, they can't tell you, like, what the hell? So then they did a concealed carry permit, and we were against that. We don't need no stinking permit. And that's how it eventually got to where concealed carry, unrestricted concealed carry in Arizona. It was a social thing. But when we did the petitions, where would you think we would go? Like, you think you would go to the distributors, you know, the dispensaries and so on. And just like with the gun stores, no. No, we don't want you collecting signatures out front. We don't want to put it on the desk. No. Yeah, but this is for increased sales. No. Why? BATF. Because they were afraid of repercussions. And I guarantee you're getting that same kind of thing. It's not just crypto. It's not just, you know, having the solutions to a lot of these problems. The problem is that they're afraid of the man that doesn't like it. They need to have some kind of crown approval, you know, put the sword on your shoulder and knight you for something. Okay, when that happens, then there'll be a test case. There'll be this one group or this one larger or smaller that they get, hey, they did it and they got away with. When that happens, boom, the floodgates are going to go. And how I was always in support of crypto for my marijuana sales. I've been through this before, 25 years ago, exact same thing on guns and guns, porn, you know, drugs, it's all kind of in the same area. Legal or not, it doesn't matter if the man don't like it. And if you can show that you can get some kind of support for that, it will flood. And I think the regulators know that too. So is there even a liaison that does? I mean, have you found the regulator you're having to appease? Do you even know who they are?
Yeah, and that's a really great point you just made. Again, that's why we're actually proactive with the state right now in a number of areas. So from assemblymen, but really, so we're working with the newly elect Nevada state treasurer who's interested in this cash to payment solution, and then the Nevada Department of Taxation, which happens to be the regulator of cannabis, because of course they want to ensure that they get paid their taxes, right? Mm-hmm. So that is kind of our strategy is if we can get a state approved solution. And, you know, it sucks that we have to ask for permission, but if we can get a state-approved solution, that's going to give the dispensaries a lot more confidence that they can actually integrate what we're proposing without having any negative repercussions against them. These licenses are really valuable. Multi-million dollar licenses, even if you don't have, because it's not everybody can get a license, we're limited and fixed in the number that are issued out. If you own one of those licenses now, it's probably worth $20 or $30 million. If you don't even operate with it, you don't even need to be running a business. Just owning the license right now is a tremendously valuable asset. So they're not going to do anything that would compromise that license that they have, that they own. You know, if we're like, use crypto instead, then they're worried that a regulator is going to revoke their license because they're using our solution. They're not going to touch.
Are you getting support from these guys? I mean, just find, hey man, better you than me. You're insulation for me. You're getting this all taken care of. And, you know, here's a little bit of contribution of we'll buy your tokens of whatever in peace and go deal with the regulators. And we get some input because we want you to succeed, but we don't want the petition on our counter, you know, that kind of thing.
Not yet. We're not really getting any industry support yet. So again, a lot of, we feel like we're doing everything for them that we can be doing and still just a high degree of skepticism and doubt.
Well, tell me about these dispensaries, you know, like you were saying, they're seed to sale. A lot of these companies, because we could see in the legislation here in Arizona that there was an initiative, like all marijuana initiatives passed, 70-something%, God, man, freaking air since the late 90s, go. And the legislators freaked out in 98 election and they undid the initiative. They go, no, we're not letting that go. Really? So now the initiative, you know, came out and passed that they can't change initiatives, you know, that kind of thing. So what happened was you have this initiative comes out, it passes, you get the support of the people, and then, you know, the legislation of now we don't like it and we'll make it difficult. Well, you don't see that happening in Nevada, right? You're going, because Nevada works a little differently. They do legislate, they have a legislature convene only once every 2 years, right?
Correct.
So they do that once every 2 years, and when you change anything, certainly in the Constitution or something in Nevada, you got to wait another 2 years for them to redo it from the first time or something like that, right?
Yeah. And I'm not totally familiar with the process, but it's like it's a secondary vote to implement what was already approved the first time.
Yeah,
around.
So they're slow in doing anything. I mean, they get a second bite of the apple kind of deal. So Nevada's unique in this stuff. We've covered Nevada quite a bit and how I know this. But so now you're in a position, do you think that you're unique in this field? And I would wonder that you would have a lot of freedom-oriented guys are probably in the dispensary, aside from pharma or whatever. But they're... I can't believe they're either not supporting their own, something else. They got their own lobbyists. You know, that would be a good place to go, is find out who the lobbyists are for these industries, and that you're offering a lot of the solutions that they're bitching about already with their paid lobbyists.
So we have our own public affairs, a lobbying group that we work with here in Nevada. So they kind of, so Scott Rutledge is our key point of contact over there. And he was actually pretty pivotal in getting rec passed in 2017. He was at the forefront of those lobbying efforts. So he's our guy. And he knows pretty much everybody in the cannabis space, and he's talking to people on our behalf and helping set up these meetings with the only reason we have any conversations with the legislators is because of him and because of his contact.
Okay. I'm going to share some activists. I've been, libertarian 30 years, county chairman in the 90s, run for national chair a bunch of times, blah, 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 blah. I want to share this story with you because it applies directly with lobbying and state legislature, and you'll recognize this. When I had opened my restaurant, I would do some big news thing and freedom, whatever, about every 3-4 months just to, because it was safer. Once you kind of go away, you're not on top of the list. You're not as safe, If you're going to be on the list, be on top of the list. It's safer there, So what happened, I was approached by a lobbyist for the adult entertainment industry here. It was the strip clubs or something, right? There's a young man, he comes up to me and he goes, "Man, we need some help. There's stuff going on." And I see it in the news. I'm busy. I got a restaurant to run. I ain't got time for this crap. Well, Jenna Jameson, which was a popular porn actress back in the day, had her own strip club in Scottsdale. And Scottsdale, they wanted to get some of their money. They go, "Woo, you're not allowed," and they're raiding and you're doing it wrong, and girls are too something or whatever the heck it was, just to harass them. Well, these strip club owners, they don't even get up before noon or something. I mean, hell, by the time they even get to work, the day's over. They don't know what the hell's going on. They're just doing their business. Well, the thing is that you also have to have a liquor license, which is kind of like, what happens when you can start smoking up at, strip clubs? Ooh, I don't know. You probably can. I don't know. So what happened was they were really coming after them and shaking them down. When they did this, all of a sudden, there was this big lobbyist that came, these little lobbyists that were, advocating freedom and, leave us aloneism and whatever, and kind of keeping their clients informed. But then the big lobbyist come in, and he wants to have a meeting. They invited me to go to this meeting. We go to a big cafeteria kind of thing, setting, and they had probably, 30, 40 guys in there, club owners and so on. And this lobbyist gets up, and he says this: "You need me. For $60,000 a year, I can keep you in business. I know the other side. They're going to protest the religious right of weed hate and smut of whatever the heck, and they get the politicians to rate and do them. We got, and the money goes to the other. They create the controversy so that they can keep hammering on you, and they'll be out in front and, driving off your patrons and doing your exploiting the girl and all that kind of stuff. But if you hire me, I go golfing with that guy.
Yeah.
We're buds, man. We can work it out. We can get to where they can have their little 5 minutes of fame. They're all happy. They get their stuff. But the legislation, the guy, it's all optics. It's all politics. It's all pick me, and I'll take care of you, and you'll know what's going on. You don't have to worry about it. You go back to business, $60,000. And I'm sitting there, I'm going, are you freaking kidding me? There, this is a shakedown, and you think it's going to be 60 forever? It's going to keep going. And these guys are all – so it's always the lobbyist that's inside connected, I take care of you, right up until they screw you. So what I did is I went to – there was a back when Penthouse had a chain of clubs. They had one downtown near off the freeway. Nice place. It's one of the big, you know, woohoo and bring the kids or something or whatever. But so you go in, and they take us up to the conference room up top. Have the guys come in. And I go, let me tell you how the law works here in Arizona. You only need 5 people to create a party. You have chair, vice chair, treasurer, secretary, and member at large. You meet in the sale. We're in this room. We just had the meeting. You file with the Secretary of State. You know that you did a party. You can call it the travel and entertainment, you know, freaking party of whatever the hell. And you have how long would it take you to get 15,000 signatures of topless babes at all one weekend, all the clubs, and kind of sign here and join the entertainment party or whatever. Boom, you're on the ballot. Takes nothing to get candidates on. You got all the babes running for office. And woohoo, we're right here. And we're the freedom guys. As soon as that got out, boom, their problem was solved and they stopped hassling them.
Wow.
You feel me?
Yeah.
So as soon as there was the ability, there was a real credible political threat. We did it with the Second Amendment thing. We've done it with adult entertainment. Yeah, if you guys really want to play, now they keep changing laws and stuff. It changes all the time. But if they really want to play, you want to do, you start running people for office, you start having, you know, a scantily clad of, you know, here, sign my petition on my boobies or whatever right here. It happened. And once we went down that road, all of a sudden these lobbyists shut the F up and went away and have left these guys alone ever since.
Wow.
It is, be careful getting in with the wrong lobby or even the lobbyist industry. It's like with the NRA, they create gun control so that they could have their guys be against it, raise money, and go, and then they vote for Brady Bill and Dole passes all this stuff with NRA approval. And I'm going, oh yeah, we love us some Trump, and yeah, we'll get the crazy people and we'll go and seize guns and stuff. So I'm telling you, you got to come in with hand. And if you get sucked in with these guys, you'll remember this story and what's going to keep happening, and you need to pay more and you get less. FYI, from my experience.
Yeah, appreciate that. It's a shady business, to be honest with you, the whole
politics lobby. And money and banking and drugs and crypto. Yeah. I don't know how shady you can get.
The guy that we work with is very philosophically aligned with us. So,
And
the second part is, we're not working with lobbyists for self-enrichment. Like, I think a lot of people, you know, they want to lobby an industry to give themselves an unfair competitive advantage, or they want to put barriers in place for other people. We're not doing that. I of course want to see the business, but I'm not sitting here trying to get rich. I've done well on crypto, so I want to assist with the adoption, genuinely.
Free the planet, man. I'm hip.
That's what I care about. I don't care about, you know, how many millions am I going to cash out my business for and whose throat do I have to step on and what lobbyists do I have to pay off to get there.
You need a voice. You need just general public opinion. You need somebody running for office. You need, I don't know if the Libertarian Party would fill the bill or what. I have no idea what the laws and how active they are or whatever. But if you got someone that can do the philosophical, you know, running for just, you know, freedom, you know, that it's all about general public opinion on the right kind of, you know, what is really important. And if you can do that, I want to help. I mean, I'm here in Phoenix. Crap, we got sign making. We did we did the Levolution thing, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you know, I got sign production. We can whip ass. I got DVD, 300 to 500 DVDs an hour I can make, and I got 20,000 blanks I need to get rid of in the next year before it's obsolete and NATO. What, DVD? What the hell's that, you know? So, this is stuff, and we got all kinds of things on this line that we can just reproduce and put out. Woohoo! Vegas is close. You know, there'd be some Vegas people coming down to Anarkazona that we're doing March 30th. Jeff Berwick will be there. I'll be speaking, you know, Larkin Rose, Tim Pachote, and we're going to be there pimping this. And it might be something you might want to go, you know, to. It's not that far away. It'd be in Sedona.
Yeah. I know Phoenix is like a 4-hour drive. Sedona's south, right?
No, Sedona is halfway between Flagstaff and Phoenix. So you just go 40 Flagstaff down, you know, boom.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's a short drive. You said that's at the end of March?
Yeah, March 30th. Just look at Anarkazona. If you go on freedomsphoenix.com, we just put up a bunch of the ads today, and you get a 10% discount. But it's only $25. So it would be like $20. You know, it's going to go up to 40 whatever next week. But, you know, these are the guys. I mean, we're in Arizona looking for just – I mean, hell, if you just, you know, threw up a table and or just go and pass out stuff on tables, it'd be worth you doing it because we got people in need here in Arizona too.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Jeff's going to be there, me, Larkin, you know, Pachote, and some other – I mean, hell, that ain't enough reason for you to go. You feel me?
Right. Yeah, I'm gonna look into it right now. I will probably grab tickets. I just have to see what else I have going on at time of on the calendar.
Yeah, well, guy, I want to see. I'm optimistic that you're going to be able to do exactly what you want to do. I'm that optimistic, but I'm pessimistic that the man's like, damn it, he did it, yeah. And they're not going to jump up and down going yay. He did it. Yay. Damn it. You know, so I, you know, that's why you need the public opinion on your side. That's why you need, look, this is the criteria they want. We did it in spades. What's their bitch now? Well, we got candidate, whatever initiative, what you call it, of kind of, you know, this could all be written up in an initiative to allow the something, you know, just to get, and it didn't even matter if it passes. It is the mindset. It's the education of the people. And a lot of people don't realize how much weight that had in the spontaneous order of the Levolution. Coming out of Ron Paul's Levolution was this mindset that not only can it be done, it should be done. And these are the bad guys right here. Let me show you. And you come up with solutions like this, and the general public's going to go, yeah, I think these guys are lying sacks of snot with a badge. That happens. It may take 5, 10, 15 years, but we get the freedom that we wanted. I've experienced it here in my longer than a lot of you guys' life. This is how it happens. Public opinion.
Yeah. I appreciate that because that's really not a point I had considered, and we just haven't experienced it yet. You know, we're still trying to convince the businesses to work with us, and we're still trying to develop.
Businesses are convinced. If I'm a business writer, you offer this guy, I go, hell yeah, that's good. Oh, wait. Who's coming after me? And we did this with the second. I couldn't believe. I was a young activist. I'm like 30 years old or something, you know, and we're kicking ass. We're like, woohoo! People are signing. It's like, so let's go to the gun stores. Here's the petition. No, get that kryptonite. Get it out. I mean, literally, they were freaking. And I'm going, what the hell happened? Because of the fear of regulators.
Yeah.
I guarantee you're dealing with that. So when you get the general public opinion, hey, we're complying. We got all this. We're answered all our stuff. Look, everybody. Woohoo! And then they come in and they're going, you guys aren't with this? You don't have the toke, you know, the toke's platform? You're not doing it? Why aren't you doing it? What's your problem? You get the people on your side. And however you do campaign and you think about it, and that's what I do. I'm all about the public, general public opinion thing. And being Las Vegas and close, and we got friends there and stuff, and it's just good excuse to partay and go down to, you know, the D Casino and, you know, what was it, Golden Gate or whatever the heck it is down there. We've been, you know, you got Kingsley Edwards, you know, there and his girlfriend and so on. I'm ready to go do some meet. Have you gone to their meetups and stuff, I would imagine?
Yeah, we actually co-sponsored Beat the Bear Market end of the year.
Boom!
Yeah.
See? Yeah. We're in, man. You pick up, do a meetup, something. We'll go up there, and now we'll make a campaign, something. That's where it's going to be, in my opinion, and I want to help. So let me help when you need time to help, okay?
Cool. Well, I mean, how do we this is all just, again, really new to me, so this is not part of our strategy at all.
Campaign. It's got to be some kind of campaign. You know, you just put up signs. You got somebody running for whatever. You do an initiative. You file just an excuse to go out, and you don't even have to get a single signature because then you can put up signs. You look at the law to whatever, and you got to sign with the QR code to the sign. See, it was all like they go, they'll bypass, and Josh Segerson from Wham. He's on the I don't know if you saw the forum we did on censorship, you know, and I kind of hosted that. And I'm going, he's going, yeah, you got to go where the people are, though. You got to go where the people are. You know, I like being on, you know, Facebook or YouTube where it has, you know, suggested videos. Well, they delisted us. Our revenue went down 90%, or they didn't play fair. And I'm going, what the hell did you think was going to happen? And I go, you want to go to where the people are, and you had it so easy. Google was doing it for you. They were sucking you in, getting you dependent, and boom, they pulled the rug out. And I've been screaming, that's exactly what was going to happen. Well, it happened. So now we're doing IPFS servers and all that kind of stuff. But my point is I go, look, you guys don't remember. Before the World Wide Web, before Yahoo used to be a couple of guys out of college that just put up, hey, look at this cool stuff that we see, cool stuff, and go to the cool stuff. Oh, and you think you got cool stuff? Well, fill out the cool stuff form, and we'll put it up on Yahoo. That's how search engines used to be before this, you know, tinkered with algorithm crap, and which they could just use it to do whatever they wanted. Turn you off, turn you on. But it used to be you promoted your website. If we'd had QR code technology back then, we would have done QR codes. I mean, in 12, we did. We had all these little QR codes. Vinyls that was for, you know, antiwar.com, Free Talk Live, Stefan Molyneux, Coke Cash, Bitcoin Not Bomb. We just did a bunch of them just to demonstrate it. And one of them said, silly status, taxes are for slaves, about that big. And we put them on all the gas pumps. We put them in, you know, the bathroom stalls. We put them in the high rises down to government buildings. We put them in the porta-johns at the state fair. We are everywhere where somebody was there for a few minutes and they had their smartphone and blip QR code. And it goes, silly status, taxes are for slaves. And we could track every time somebody did it from anywhere in the world. It just kind of spread out and they would go and they'd click it and they get whatever message that we wanted. You do QR codes on signs like the Lovolution. They go, well, how'd you get the message? What, you didn't see a freaking sign in every freaking overpass? Man, you don't piss me off. I'll go a pirate on your ass. You see my point?
Yeah.
You get to where you got a campaign or something clear or a candidate or initiative or something that you want to do just as a demonstration again that I keep doing this for the world and for certainly this country out of Arizona and Nevada. We will make it to where people have to have an opinion about your thing, and I don't give a shit if Facebook prints one word or not, because you have to bypass these guys. You've gotten too much on their grid. Now, what you're doing with the compliance with this is an education there. Look, you guys wanted this. Here, we did it. There, it's done.
Yeah,
we didn't want you to fix it. So you got to get to the people of what's being done and offered in a campaign so that they have to have an opinion. When the people go to the distributor, the dispensary, and they say, hey, how come you're not? How come? Because we're afraid of whatever. It's a people thing. It's always a people thing. It's always a general opinion people thing. Always. And then when the parade's created, there's some legislator candidate, somebody wants to jump in front of the parade, I give you Donald Trump. Trump was a side effect of everybody pissed off at everything. But there was no, who you're going to vote for? Bill Weld? See my point?
Yeah.
All right.
So would it be, I'm just trying to think of next steps, though. Like, I don't know, you know, exactly what you're proposing. Would it be beneficial to get you on in a conversation with the guy that we work with here? Or
yeah, let's do it. Let's go up there. Let's go get some. We'll get the activists, Arizona, Nevada, and we'll go kick ass. In the first weekend in August, we have the Jackalope Freedom Festival. It's kind of like, you know, Pork West. You know, we just went a bunch of anarchists out in the woods. And we're not filling out any 501c3 and nobody's in charge kind of thing. We're going into our seventh or eighth year. You know, and it's just, so a lot of the guys from Nevada go to that. A lot of the guys that go to that are going to be going to Narcozona. A lot of the guys out of Narcozona need to be buds with the, you know, people. Hell, it's about as long a drive from you to get there as it for me to get there from here. So I'm see you there. But I would say Kingsley Edwards, you know, they do a meetup. I'll come up there and just hang with you guys. We can talk and do campaign. But what you, here in Arizona, it's called ARS Title 6. 16, Arizona Revised Statute, and that's all the election law stuff. So you find the election laws in Nevada for running candidates, parties, petitions, whatever. And then, of course, you got the Libertarian Party there that may or may not be of use. I mean, you know, you can see. But it's a campaign. The only reason that we do can't – I don't vote. You know, I run, you know, three times for U.S. Congress, twice for Secretary of State, County Recorder, State Legislature a couple of times, U.S. Senate against John McCain as the Libertarian candidate. I run plenty for office, but I don't vote. And they come up and they go, well, you don't vote. I go, I'm glad you brought that up. They go, no, never ask Ernie that question. I'm like, you're still voting? Are you, what the hell are you guys doing still voting? That's where the Levolution logo came from in my 06 campaign. And then we put Ron Paul on it because I already knew it was really popular. People were freaking out. I got tattoos showed me at Narcopoco. Everybody got to show me their Levolution tattoo. I'm telling you, I've seen dozens. So the thing is that when we go to these different industries or everybody comes to me with problems, just exactly what you have, I always go, you need a campaign. And if you look at the law, there is, how can you put up signs? Now, the Levolution, nobody got a permit. There was no, it didn't even say vote Ron Paul. It's just people put up signs. They took them down. We put up a bunch more. We'd make like, you know, 200 to 600 every weekend. Start on Friday. Everybody went different places around the valley. Dim, they put up. They took them down by Monday afternoon. We did it again next week. For months and months and months, you sons of bitches, we will not be denied. Now, if you want them to stay up and you have a candidate, you know, so-and-so running for whatever, doesn't just get on the back. Hell, do it as a write-in. I did it in 90 as a write-in just to get standing for my lawsuits all the way to the Ninth Circuit. I'm arguing my own case, pro se litigant, stand oral argument, Ninth Circuit, San Francisco, I got an argument. Nah. Didn't care what they did. I got more changed by just the press of doing it than I did from whatever the justice said. I give a crap what they said. I just wanted them to say it! Say it! You know, so that's what we did. So you would have a campaign for an initiative, a referendum, a recall, you know, a candidate, or whatever, because when you have a candidate, that sign can't be taken down. Doesn't mean they don't, but I mean, you have a sign. It's a campaign sign.
Yeah.
It's up there, campaign sign. He's a campaign sign. Now, mine was, all right, before you go, I have you do this. Go on an image search, you know, like Google or one of them. Do it right now. Go on an image search and put still voting question mark. So you have the word still, a space, voting, and question mark. And you'll see where the Levolution logo first came from.
Okay.
And
yeah, I mean, it's the first thing that pops up. Oh, yeah.
Now, you see that still voting with the V for Vendetta?
Yeah.
Okay, that was my sign for Secretary of State. How big is the Secretary of State or my name? It's just tiny. It's tiny. It was just to be able to do it. I didn't give a shit about me. That wasn't the point.
You just wanted your sign to
stay. I just wanted the signs up.
Yeah.
You still voting? You know, and then we knew how popular the Levolution, because I had that little extra, you know, white space there. You know, that little extra white space, and I go, and I saw that level, that's since the Beatles. You know, I'm going, I'll just, you know, put that up there, and we'll see what's up, you know? Yeah. And then it just exploded. So then it's like 6 months later, in January, Ron's talking about he's going to run for whatever, and, you know, and I'm going, yep, here we go. I already know what I'm going to do.
You know?
So this is what I offer you. This is what, you know, is the most important thing in any campaign of what you're doing. And if you don't do this, you know, you're never going to get them to want to have it on their counter or promoting of whatever. All right. So I'm going to show the audience this. This is what we're talking about. You need to go here. Boom. This is where the Levolution, this is 06. Now, you look on the still voting, it says ErnestHancock.com, Secretary of State, which is in charge of elections. At the bottom, what does it say? Endorsed by FreedomsPhoenix.com. So the paper would go, hey, well, that's your site. I go, yes, it is. Make sure you spell it right. You know, I don't give a crap. Mm-hmm. What if you had the same thing, endorsed by ToksPlatform.org? Because I went to them and I go, they always have endorsed by in a yellow, black on yellow triangle, you know, they kind of put in the corner, endorsed by the police or endorsed by the Arizona Republic newspaper or endorsed by the firemen, endorsed by, I go, well, can I put endorsed by Napa Auto Parts? Well, that's what I thought it, because the newspaper is a private entity. It's a for-profit organization usually, you know, and I'm going, well, I'll just put what I want. Screw you. Sue me. Make my day.
Yeah.
And then what happens? I get 7-8%, and they're like, holy crap, what the hell happened? Because people, and this sign was voted the most popular in the newspaper that year.
Okay.
You starting to feel where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
You need an excuse to put a sign up, and that it can stay.
Okay.
All right, man. I want to help. I'm all over it.
Yeah, sounds good. I've got a note for myself. I'm going to buy some tickets to...
Anarkazona.
Thanks. I've got a note for that. I will set up a call with Scott and you. I, you know, again, this is entirely new, so I have to figure out how it fits into the strategy and what costs are going to be associated with it too, obviously, running a business, depending on how expensive all of this is. So
it doesn't have to be any. It's volunteer, make a sign, blockchain, we're going to do. It's kind of inspired of we go, how much did the Levolution cost? Didn't cost us anything. It was okay. Like we started it with $2,500 of guys donated just to shut me up. I went and got a place. We started making signs. That's just a thing. I'm going to, yeah, here, and here's $500. Here's $100. Here's the guy. I got $2,500. Started 8 weeks in the, you know, old, they were doing light rail construction out front. So it was just, I knew the landlord, and here, peace out, go. And we did this in 4 weeks, and it exploded, and there was never a doubt in my mind. See, a lot of times they're going, how did you know? I'm like, how did you not know? You have an entire industry and a whole bunch of others with this Operation Choke Point thing and the marijuana industry with a bunch of money there. They're just afraid of the regulators. And when you start doing this and you take a lead role out there, but this is the warning, it comes with attention. What's the Chinese curse? You know, may you live an interesting life and come to the attention of important people. Well, you're going to be interesting and come to the attention of, so you got to be careful who you have and how and do, and maybe support a libertarian candidate or a Republican, Democrat, whatever the hell. This is stuff that we can talk about. But I have thwarted so much pain in the ass by the man before with just the threat of this kind of stuff. And once you start it, they're like, damn it, I hate when they get the people behind them. I've got 30 years of experience doing this, and I'm telling you, Michael, I want to help. We got resorted. We're going to help, man. Woo, go get some. But I can't do it for you. I'm in Phoenix.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah, I like to be kind of under the radar myself, behind the green.
I understand. go ahead, and we'll talk more at Arkazona, and maybe you can bring the guy. We'll talk. We'll do kind of something. I'll come up to Vegas, and we'll be something. And awesome. You know, but this is a long-term kind of thinking strategy stuff, because this is, you know, but it's happening now. And when the economy hits and all this kind of, there's a lot of these solutions, what you have as a complete platform for even a pizza, you know, restaurant owner. I'd love to have something like this. And hell, if it just paid the taxes of the crypto, kind of, you know, boom, I'm done. It's kind of like withholding, man. I don't even want to look at it. I just, you know, peace out. Because if I didn't have to go down to pay my sales tax and do all the fill out paperwork and stuff, even better, you know? So I'm with you. Well, thanks for spending this extra time with me. I feel better that you're a little bit more informed about what can be possible in helping you. And it's not just, you know, going down on freaking regulators all the time, you know? Yeah. So it's now you have where there's a method for you to get support from not just the industry, but the people in general, and then be educated.
Awesome. Yeah, Ernie, I appreciate the time, and thanks for having me on the show, and definitely want to continue the conversation with you. So we'll be in touch.
Yeah, great contact. Peace, brother. It's a good talking to you. It's toksplatform.org. You guys go check it out and see what's up. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Ernie.